On this week's episode, I sit down and talk with Lauren Mosbach, a licensed mental health therapist, mom of four, and author of the new book, Let's Grow on an Adventure, Finding Calm in the Joy of Nature. We talk about the hidden benefits of outdoor unstructured play, how to encourage your kids to play outside, and specific ideas on play activities.
Play in general is just so great. I mean, you mentioned a couple of those with developing those communication skills and those social skills when the kids, when they're playing together, whether it's with siblings or whether it's with neighbors, they're developing social skills, that one-on-one interaction, which, you know, you can't get on screen. So it's something that's really great.
Hi, and welcome to the Parentologist Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Kim. The Parentologist Podcast is a show about everything parenting with a therapeutic twist. Each episode focuses on a variety of relatable topics, including parenting, family, children, relationships, mental health, and pop culture. Hear from a variety of medical professionals, psychological experts, authors, celebrities, and other parents with inspiring stories. You'll feel like you're in the same room with your friends getting all of your questions answered. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll learn, and you'll have fun. Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Hi, Dr. Kim. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited for you to be here too. Now, you just came out with a book called Let's Grow on an Adventure, Finding Calm in the Joy of Nature. And I cannot wait to dig in and I can't wait to talk about it.
I know. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I was mentioning before we started recording that, you know, as a play therapist and as a mom, I just value play so much. And I feel like we talk about play as parents, you know, ever since our, you know, kids are very little, you know, you take them to those little gyms and, you know, let them move their bodies. And, you know, we talk about that, but I feel like the busier we get as moms and the older our kids get and just more things come into play with their lives, it's a little bit harder to prioritize that. Do you find that you're a mom of four? So do you find that that's harder to prioritize play and movement and outdoor, you know, anything outdoor?
Absolutely. Yes. Between school and sometimes those structured activities, it can be really hard. And then to weather, it can be difficult to prioritize that free play, the unstructured play that we know is so essential for healthy bodies and brains.
Exactly. And that's true. Weather does come into play. And I know you're on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast, but we still have our challenges. I mean, sometimes I know this is going to sound crazy coming from California, where everyone from the other side of the country thinks that everything's perfect out here weather-wise, and it's not. We have our challenges too. You know, we have a huge rainy season, and then it pretty much, we don't really have a fall and a spring. Like, it goes basically from rainy season to it being 100 degrees and super hot outside. And both aren't ideal for children, right? Especially when it comes to outdoor play. And now, you know, in East Coast, you know, you have, you know, obviously thunderstorms and you have snow and different things to come into play too. So if kids can't go outside, and I know that's what your book's about, so we will be talking the value of outdoor play specifically, but you know, we don't want to obviously prioritize screen time. And there is a balance between, you know, some of that, because there are some educational games out there that I know my kids like to play, you know, on their iPads. And some of it can be pretty fun and educational. And they have like these movement, you know, games that they can do and different yoga. And do you, well, first, let me ask you, how do you feel about screen time? And do you feel like there is such thing as a balance between screen time and movement play?
Yeah, you know, absolutely. My kids, they love, you know, they love screens. I think that it's just all about finding that balance. They do like to go on their computers, but they also love to go outside with us. And we were just planting seeds the other day, just little, you know, wildflower seeds. And they love that. My four-year-old, as you know, I have the four kids and ages 2, 4, 8, and 11. And my four-year-old especially, he goes and he checks every day to see see how much they've grown. And it hasn't been much, but it's just so sweet to see the enthusiasm and just the excitement. I'd say even more excited than going on, you know, an iPad. So I think it's just really important to find that that balance, because there are benefits to screen time, and it is a normal part of kids' lives, but it's important to just encourage them to do other activities, other games and other things that help their, you know, creativity and brain development.
Exactly. And I don't know if you agree with this, but from my just personal and professional, you know, expertise, I definitely think that as a parent, you have to be a little more present when it comes to prioritizing play or mm-hmm. free play or outdoor play. You can't just wing it. You have to mm-hmm. prepare right. a little bit for that and be a little more, like I said, if you're, and we're both working moms, so mm-hmm. so we get the challenges of, you know, day-to-day life and activities.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, you have to encourage that a little more and even role model that a little more. It's so easy to just to put them in front of a screen and say, okay, do this. And then I actually can get a lot of work done. So that there's a benefit to that, right?
Right. Right.
It yeah. is helpful even for us sometimes for them to do that. Mm-hmm. But to be a more present parent, I feel like it does take, you know, that moment where you say, okay, I'm going to, you know, encourage them to go outside. I'm even going to go maybe take my computer outside and do work on the porch mm-hmm. while they play, or, you know, have a specific craft or a specific toy or something for them to play with on the outside. My son, whenever I have a 7-year-old and 11-year-old, and whenever mm-hmm. I ask them, would you rather do this? Let's say screen something on the screen, or would you rather do this? And it's something outside. 99% of the time they pick the outdoor activity
right.
or the play activity, right? Mm-hmm. They usually choose that over screen time all the time.
Right.
And my son, he's 7, and he will spend, I mean, hour plus looking for bugs. I bought them this bug set from the dollar section at, you know, Target years ago. And he has caught so many bugs in it, and he lets them go. And, you know, we've had butterfly kits and all the things, but we even had this really cute ladybug kit at one time. Anyway, there's so much fun stuff that you can get for kids these days. But he has this bug kit, and it cost $1, maybe $3, because some things in the dollar section do actually cost $3. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, it was very inexpensive. He's had it for years, and he will spend, like I said, an hour plus outside just looking for bugs with his magnifier glass. So it doesn't even take much. I just have to like remind him that he has it.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, it's the same with my kids. I, you know, sometimes I have to, you know, be more intentional, like, okay, well, let's take some of the things that we do indoors outside. Let's, you know, I might have my coffee or tea outside. Let's go have a snack outside. But a lot of the times they do like to go run outside and look, like you said, at different insects and, you know, even play soccer, different things like that. And one thing that I've found that really helps my kids in particular is to try to connect their interests and passions with the outdoors. So, you know, like my oldest, he loves science and animals. So he's always, you know, about just looking at the bugs, looking at, you know, if we see a fox sometimes runs around our neighborhood, just different things like that. My other 8-year-old, he is a big reader. So sometimes it's just going, let's bring the books outside and go sit under a tree together. Or we have a little tire swing. So maybe just swing there and read. And then my littlest one, Abby, she's 2. She just loves to go out and, you know, just look at everything. She looks at everything. She picks up flowers and, she's happy doing anything outside as long as her brothers are there or I'm with her. So I really think that there are ways to, you know, get kids outdoors by connecting their interests and passions. If they're social, I have one of my little guys is very social. So just having some of those play dates together with some neighbors can help get him outdoors too. So it's great. I mean, we have so much fun just going for walks around the block and playing I Spy, even just looking for different shapes in the clouds, stuff like that. And I really feel great when I'm outside. I don't know about you, but when it's sunny and it's you know, nice out, it's really nice to just be out there.
Absolutely. And you were saying about, you know, building on our children's strengths. My 10-year-old mm-hmm. daughter loves art and she loves dance too. So then she'll go out in the backyard and just dance. Like she'll literally free dance, and it's amazing to watch, you know. It's like watching a TV show, but I'm just going to be outside and it's my daughter. Yeah. Or she'll love art. So she'll take, we have this, you know, some extra canvases that we got, and she'll take it outside like she's a, you know, a painter, and she'll mm-hmm. bring her paints and she'll set a blanket up and then go on the grass with this canvas and, you know, one of those, you know, where the I can't even think of the word right now, but the thing that holds the canvas.
Oh, yes, that word.
Yes. But she goes out there and she paints. And, mm-hmm. and it's just amazing to see that. Like I said, so my son's catching bugs. She's painting or dancing and it's fun. Mm-hmm. So going back to what we first talked about, the dilemma, because I know that sometimes parents, you know, like you said, will say, I don't have the time, or, you know, the weather's not good, or whatever the case mm-hmm. is. So I liked your suggestions about I Spy, you know, the cloud shapes, things like mm-hmm. that. What do you suggest if parents want their kids to do something other than screen time at home? And like you said, there's so, and we'll go into some of that in a little bit, but the mental health benefits of being outside and, mm-hmm. you know, how it lowers our stress and things like that. What do you suggest if the weather is bad? What are some things we could do where, like I said, sometimes I'll have the kids look outside. So there may not be outside, mm-hmm. but we'll put the window open and they'll mm-hmm. be looking outside, right?
Right, right.
What are some things that you've done? I think you just mentioned too, the I Spy game and then the you know, looking at the shapes of the clouds. Any other suggestions yeah. of when the weather is bad, but they still get a little bit of that fresh air and outdoor perspective when it comes to free play?
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I think even sitting by the window, getting the fresh air, getting that sunlight, which, you know, we know is so good for the, you know, your serotonin, vitamin D, we can get into that in a little bit, but just, yeah, the, looking for the shapes in the clouds, looking at the trees, and even practicing a mindfulness game. I do have something like that in the back of my book, but so what you can do is just look around and explore your senses. So kids can name, looking out the window, five things that they see in nature. They can look at four things that they might like to touch outside when that weather's a little nicer, maybe three things that they like to hear, two things they like to smell, one thing they like to taste. Just to get them kind of excited about nature. And also that's a good mindfulness strategy too. So you're learning a fun mindfulness strategy while you do that, because it helps kids focus on the moment and focus on, you know, not worrying about what happened before, not worrying about what's going to happen later today, but just really being present in the moment and focusing on the outdoors. And then also there are those days, I mean, I have four kids, so there are those days when it's raining out and it's okay. It's time to put those rain boots on and head outside and splash in the puddles. So I think, you know, what's that saying? There's no bad weather, just bad clothing.
Yeah. I like that. I like that. I have not actually heard that before, but I love that. Yeah.
So true. Sometimes I'll do that and then we'll, you know, have to take baths right away afterward. But we, you know, we like to do that and there's so much to do. And then even, you know, even inside that's not nature related, just building blocks. My kids love those magnet tiles or building blocks or forts is a big one with my boys and now my daughter too. Going into the basement and making a fort with pillows and blankets and just, you know, bringing their animals or dolls or toys or whatnot. And they love that. And they all get along really well when they do that. So that's a fun activity to do. And then baking, we love to, I know we're kind of getting off topic with nature here a little bit. I guess we can grow some things in the garden.
These are all great ideas, though. These are all great ideas.
Yeah. So, you know, we love to bake. I mean, my boys have always loved making muffins and things like that. And so that's really great. And it's a great life skill for them to have to learn, you know, how to turn the oven on with me and how to bake and mix things up and do measurements. And they're doing a little bit of math and a little bit of reading and a little bit of everything. So that's always a really great activity to do also.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, as parents, we do have to pivot. I mean, I think as moms specifically, we're known for that. Yeah. You know, so if we plan something and then it starts raining or one of our kids gets sick or I don't know, we just have to mm-hmm. pivot all the time and adapt. And, you know, like you said, whether it's raining and they get to go play in the puddles, that's super fun for them. And mm-hmm. it may be too cold for me, you know, and I'll have my jacket on just walking from afar. But,
yeah.
you know, but they love it. Or, you know, even in the summertime, you know, they play in the sprinklers or they mm-hmm. you know, they'll get wet anyway, whether it's a hot day in the sprinklers or with water balloons or whatever it is.
Right.
Or, you know, they're playing in the mud. I mean, that gets to be a little bit messy sometimes, or playing with paint. Mm-hmm. Like, kids are going to get messy. And I feel like the message I try to get across to parents all the time is that's okay. You can clean your kids up, you know? Mm-hmm. And if right. it's outdoors, you don't have to clean as much inside. You know, your floors aren't going to mm-hmm. get wet or whatever the case is, right? So,
exactly.
Mm-hmm. So, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the benefits of play, which I could probably sit here and talk about all day, obviously, mm-hmm. but the benefits of play, and then specifically the benefits of outdoor play. And I do like sure. the fort, like you even build a fort outside. And I like that you brought that up because mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes, especially when you have more than one child, mm-hmm. Especially during like spring break, summer break, you know, winter break, it, mm-hmm. it can get a little mm-hmm. tedious and monotonous mm-hmm. at home, and they get bored and then they start arguing. And I mm-hmm. think finding activities that they can do together as a team, mm-hmm. like building a fort, really build, right. you know, not only just their character and, you know, their relationship with each other and their attachment, but just as a play tool, because that will help them later in life, you know, becoming, you know, a team player, whether it's a sport or when they're interviewing for a job. One mm-hmm. of the questions I always got asked, you know, in my younger years was, are you a team player? you know, mm-hmm. and of course you say mm-hmm. yes to get the job, even if you don't like working as a team, but, you know, but the more experience you have with that, you know, the better it is going to be working with people in the future for future jobs. So what are some other right. benefits to play specifically mm-hmm. and also outdoor play that you talk about in your book or just that you've noticed as a mom as well?
Yeah, well, so play in general is just so great. I mean, you mentioned a couple of those with developing those communication skills and those social skills when the kids, when they're playing together, whether it's with siblings or whether it's with neighbors, they're developing social skills, that one-on-one interaction, which, you know, you can't get on screen. So it's something that's really great. Even on play dates, I've just started banning screen time because I thought, you know what? You have a friend here and there's so many different things that you guys can do outside, and they do. And when they're outside or when they're inside playing, they have so much fun. So, you know, not only does playing enhance, you know, social skills and speech and communication, but learning, brain development, your motor skills, creativity. We know that play reduces stress, confidence. And then with you know, outdoor play, it's really great because not only are kids receiving those benefits, but they're also receiving the benefits that are specific to nature. So some of those, gosh, where do I start? So some of those, you know, that I do talk about in the book, I would say maybe just the first one is stepping outside in the fresh air. That improves your health. Fresh oxygen clears your lungs and boosts your immune system. It increases your focus and your energy. Even helps people digest food. And let's see. So the sun triggers your brain to release the feel-good hormone called serotonin, which I know you as a therapist hear the, you know, the happy chemicals a lot too. So serotonin lifts your mood and helps you feel calm and focused. So that's something great. And then also the skin absorbs sunlight and produces vitamin D. So studies show that vitamin D is great for building bones and can even reduce cancer cell growth and help control infections and inflammation, things like that. And then this is a big one. I know this is kind of tricky sometimes with parents, is dirt. It actually has benefits. And I'm guilty of not wanting my kids to get muddy and dirty. Also, you know, I know that a lot of parents are that.
I don't know if we all, if any of us really like it. We just know they have a good day and it's beneficial for them if they do, right?
Right. As I was writing, you know, the book and I had this fact in the back of the book, I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, this isn't one that I love myself, but it is true. So dirt is actually good for you. You know, we know that the soil contains healthy bacteria and microbes that can naturally build up the immune system. So, that's something that's really cool about, you know, a dirt.
So, that's so parents, let your kids go outside and play in dirt. No, really. I mean, that's just, sure, you know, that's just an important thing to know. I mean, I don't know if a lot of parents mm-hmm. would know that. I don't know if right. I even, you know, knew that specifically. Right. So that's right. a cool fact.
Yeah, it is. And so sometimes we'll, you know, just let's go out in bare feet. We don't do it all the time, but every once in a while, let's go out in bare feet and just, you know, walk around in the grass and our garden. And so also plants produce natural stress relieving chemicals called terpenes. So terpenes, some plants have terpenes, which gives plants their distinct smell. So certain plants like pine trees, lavender, sage, thyme, some different citrus fruits, they all have this, and this has these terpenes have a calming effect that can lessen anxious feelings. So that's another really cool thing about, you know, when you're outside, just they're around plants and trees. There are those hidden benefits that you don't really see or think about. And there's probably a lot out there too that we don't really even know yet, you know? And so just being outside has so many medicinal purposes. So in addition to those things, there are your playing in nature helps you develop better posture, balance, and coordination. So when you bend, twist, spin, and rock your body, you're, you know, helping your vestibular sense, so your sense of balance. So things like that sense will help kids learn how to maintain good body posture, sitting and standing upright. So that's your balance sense. And it's just very important. And going outside is something that helps you refine that skill. Balancing on logs, climbing up trees, you know, hopefully not too high, but
exactly. Yeah. We sound like a very similar mom, you know, we have a very similar mom mentality, right?
Right. But you know, yeah, exactly. So
there's still limits, right? There's still limits to play. Exactly. But yeah.
There are. And you know, I let them take those healthy risks, but when it gets to, all right, that's a little too dangerous, then that's not a good thing. So in addition to the vestibular sense, there's the proprioceptive sense. So that's, you know, your body awareness sense. Knowing where parts of your body are, like when you're sitting, oh, I hate to use this example, but when you're sitting on the couch and like looking for the remote and you just grab it because you know where, where it is without looking. So that's that sense. And that's a really important sense too for kids to learn and to refine. And so an example for kids would be that sense would help them with holding pencils or knowing that something that they're holding might be delicate. So understanding how much force to use. So maybe when they're holding, you know, a baby or a puppy, they're not going to be squeezing it too tight because they have that sense developed. And it's something that they, as kids, they're developing. So being outside is, and then also your hand-eye coordination, that's part of that sense too. So being outside is something, how the kids can help grow these senses and naturally develop those important senses. Things we don't really think about. I think they might be the hidden senses or the, you know, I don't know, sixth and seventh sense. I'm not exactly sure.
Right.
They're referred to differently, but they're really, really important. So that's something that kids can learn outside. And then even just that unstructured play inspires kids to use their imagination, creativity. They can come up with new ideas and problem solve. I even saw this interesting statistic. Let me see if I can remember it. And I can understand how it would be a little bit confusing for parents, because when I first saw it, I was like, I don't really agree with that. But I now I do what I think. So the statistic said something, on average, kids are spending less than 10 minutes a day in free play or unstructured play. And on average, about 7 hours a day on screen. So I know, so when I first heard that, I thought, no, that's not really true, because kids, if they're in, you know, schools, they're recess, they're, a lot of kids are in sports or in activities, but what it's saying here is unstructured play. So that free play, the creative play where kids don't have something organized for them. So it's something like, how would you define creative play motivated by desire and curiosity, no set goal. Just, you know, you let kids go outside and use their imagination, and maybe they build a little fort with, you know, sticks and rocks, things like that. Or they're playing, you know, anything that they.
Yeah, my kids make up their own games. Like sometimes they'll go outside and just be outside for 45 minutes and I'm trying to listen in because I think their conversations are so cute. Mm-hmm. And they've made up, like yesterday, they made up a game with imaginary friends and they just playing outside. It wasn't even anything really substantial. It's just they were playing with their imaginary friends outside for a little bit. And my husband and I looked at each other and we're like, I wish they did this more. This is so fun. And we didn't even prompt them. We just opened up because it was kind of a nice day. And so we opened up our sliding glass doors and they just kind of went out there and we, like it was time for lunch, but we said, let's let them ride it out and see how long they can play out there and get along and, you know, do all the things. And then after that, they came and had lunch and it was like probably at least 45 minutes and they were in their own little game that they created.
Yes. And that's when the real learning happens, is what research is showing us, when they're outside and they're doing
unstructured play. And that has so many benefits to their social, emotional, cognitive, you know, growth and health. So while those structured activities like sports and clubs absolutely have their benefits, the free play that you don't really think too much about has so many benefits for kids. So, you know, with their brain development, their creativity, their curiosity, their confidence, it's reducing stress because there's not that pressure to perform like there would be in a sport or in a club. Again, not that there's anything wrong with those, but it's all about balance.
Right.
So, you know, just kind of helping kids be able to do that free play and have some moments where they can go out and do that. And preferably more than the 10 minutes that we're seeing on average a day of the unstructured play. Because a lot of kids also in schools, I don't know about you, but my kids, a couple of them at their schools, they use Chromebooks. So they're using Chromebooks at school, and then oftentimes they'll want to come home because they're tired and just want to, you know, play a video game or research. My one who likes animals, research something about animals. And that's great. But it's also like, okay, well, let's do something else. Let's go take a walk around the neighborhood. Let's talk about your day and try to take a little break from screens too.
Yeah.
I love that balance.
Yeah. The critical thinking skills that comes from play is to me astounding, you know, and obviously the grounding exercises that you can do by walking barefoot on the grass or on the dirt, and obviously all the benefits that come with that are, you know, two of the favorite things that you mentioned. And then even just the, you know, as we talk about how it's like a stress reducing, I guess, way to, you know, not only minimize our stress, but also enhance serotonin, right?
Yeah.
And obviously April is stress awareness month, and May is mental health awareness month. And it's just a great time for people like us in our field to talk about these things and really remind people that it has those benefits, you know, even just, you know, lowering our cortisol levels, well, enhancing our positive cortisol levels by going outside first thing in the morning and, you know, being in the fresh air and looking at the, you know, well, in this direction of the sun, not looking at the sun, to enhance that, you know, so our cortisol levels are highest in the morning and lowest at night, so we can get a good night's sleep. It's all about the cycle, and being outdoors is a big component of that. Right.
So absolutely. And exercise. Can't forget exercise, being outside.
And, you know, speak that 10 minutes, oh gosh, like that's appalling. Like that's, I mean, and I know I fall into that category too. Like I said, as a mom, and especially as a working mom, and we all work, you know, we're all working moms at the end of the day, but you know, those that do, you know, whether they work outside the home or inside the home, like there's a lot of pressure that comes with that.
It is.
Financial pressures and other things that come along with that. Even just working around the house. Like there's sometimes where I don't have any meeting scheduled, but I have laundry and dishes and, you know, other things piled up, and, you know, life is just full of stressors. And so, and kids feel that too. And I think we forget about that a little bit sometimes as parents. And so when they come home, because both my kids got an iPad as soon as they got to kindergarten. It was they've had a school iPad for, you know, years. And one of my big things is as soon as they get home from school, they have to spend at least 1 hour of downtime, if you will, whether it's playing outside, you know, reading a book, doing art, crafts, anything like that, but just an hour where it's kind of that unstructured play where it just, you know, calms down their brains and it, you know, helps them. And sometimes they just want to snack and they just want to lay on the couch and kind of zone out. And that's fine too.
That's
We just, you know, kids need that downtime. And one of my favorite activities, which I'm going to lead into this because you have some great activity ideas in your book. So be prepared to answer that in about 2 seconds. But one of my favorite things to do with them, or just have them do on their own now that they're a little bit older, is go on a nature scavenger hunt. You know, you can find things, I'm sure, obviously in your book, but, or just if you want to Google something on the internet, like there, or just make up your own, but there's, you know, some great outdoor scavenger hunts where they go outside and they have so much fun doing this, where you just find a blade of grass or tree bark or a rock or a certain type of flower or whatever it is. And they go around, whether it's just our backyard or just, you know, in the neighborhood, I can go on a walk with them, which is, you know, beneficial for me too, to take those breaks and those outdoor breaks for movement and fresh air throughout the day. But it's, I mean, I've been doing this with them since they were toddlers, and now my daughter's in fourth grade and she's the oldest, and they still love it. Like going on a nature scavenger hunt is one of the most fun activities that doesn't take a lot of time or energy. Like they get a bag, like a paper bag, right? Like a brown bag you get at the store, just any bag. You can get a grocery shopping bag or whatever. And then they fill it up as we go on our walk. And then they come home. And when they were little, they used to paint it. So they'd paint the leaves or paint the rocks or whatever when we had more time, you know, but now they sort of just collect their little treasures and then bring them home. But you have activities like that in your book. I actually wrote down a few that stood out to me, but, you have, let me look for it here. You have your, you have a gratitude scavenger hunt, you have nature affirmations, and then of course your mindfulness of sensory exercise, which you mentioned earlier, and I'm sure you have more, but what are some, a couple, just if you want to mention a couple that you have in your book that, kids can benefit from activities.
Yeah, well, you mentioned going on a scavenger hunt with your kids. So that is one of the things that I have in at the end of my book in the resource section. There's that they have them laid out here in the back, but then also there's a QR code so parents and teachers can print them out for the kids. So I do have a gratitude scavenger hunt. So I was thinking about it when I was writing this resource section. Really, when you go on a scavenger hunt, you are in a way practicing gratitude because you're thinking about the different things in nature oftentimes that you enjoy. So I sort of made it into that. You might, you know, people might love the sound of birds singing. They might like sweet smell of flowers or discovering new things. So I do have that and it's called, you know, gratitude scavenger hunt. So different things like, you know, find something that feels soft to touch, find something that makes you smile, that helps you feel relaxed, something you're thankful for, something that's healthy for you, that's beautiful to look at, something you'd like to draw a picture of, something that's peaceful, you know, a peaceful resting spot, things like that. So there's a bunch of them there. And it's just fun to do. And it's something that kids really like to do, whether they're at school or at home. And something fun too, that it gives us an activity. So we're walking, we might, you know, when you ask kids about their day, sometimes it's like, oh, it's good, you know, because they're in the moment.
Right, one word answers.
Right. But this is something that is a little bit more interactive, something that gets the conversation flowing and something you can do together. Or, you know, if your kids are older, they can, you know, do a walk around the block together and do this as well. So that's one thing I have. Yeah. That's fun. And kids really seem to like that. And then I also have, so these nature affirmations, and when they're printed out, they're actually printed out in cards. So you can cut them and form them into cards. So, you know, we know that practicing affirmations on a regular basis can help kids feel more confident, increase their self-esteem, and be more resilient and feel more positive about themselves and the world around them. So I connected these with nature. So some of those affirmations are, I am radiant like the sun. I am calm like a stream. I can soar like an eagle. I'm growing like a garden. I am beautiful like a butterfly, I'm strong like a tree, and I can make a difference in the world around me. So those were fun to make too, and they're so good for kids.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I love affirmations, and I've used them with my kids throughout different, you know, ways throughout the years, and they really are beneficial. Your book is amazing. I really hope every parent that's listening goes out and buys it right now. It just came out a couple weeks ago, and then April is also Earth Day. It's, you know, really Earth Month. You know, I've been celebrating it all month, and this would just be such a great thing to give to kids. I know sometimes, you know, we do Earth Day activities where we go clean up trash for our local neighborhood or community, or, you know, just, you know, plant the garden or do things to honor nature. And I think, you know, getting this book and utilizing it, you know, throughout this month, you know, is a way to get that fresh air and movement, but also to reduce stress for you and your kids, I think would be so beneficial. Right. So as we're wrapping up here, will you share where they can get the book and where they can find you for more information or to reach out for more of your resources?
Sure. Yeah. So the book is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, also Pessy is the publisher. They're a mental health and education publisher, so they have a catalog there. Book can be found there. And then my website is laurenmossbeck.com, and then I am also on Instagram and Facebook as well. So
And we'll link everything here. We'll link everything so, you know, no one has to go and search for you. I'll make sure everything is in my podcast notes just because I want them to find you and find this book because there's just, it's so amazing. And I can't wait to share it with my kids too. I've already ordered my copy and it's coming in the mail any day now. So I can't wait for that. And like I said, just to reap in all of the benefits of play itself and outdoor play. So thank you for writing this and thank you for your expertise in being here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm just so excited and passionate about kids finding that joy in nature and really understanding that there are physical and mental health benefits of outdoor play.
Absolutely. And as we role model ourselves, I think our kids will role model it for them, their future children, right? I mean, learning these skills and learning these ways to cope with stress are things that they should be learning young. So I'm glad even your two-year-old engages in it because I think, you know, kids at a very early age should be learning these things and practicing these things, especially with those statistics being so horrifying, to spend more times outdoors and to reap all those benefits. So yeah, thank you again for all your wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining me today. I cannot wait for you to listen to more episodes. If you are a new listener, I recommend starting at my Best of Year One episode first. Then make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. And when you love an episode, please leave a review. And if you want to stay connected between episodes, please visit me on social media at The Parentologist and on my blog at theparentologist.com. This podcast is not intended to be a replacement for therapy. If you or someone you know is in crisis, please call 911.